ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're continuing our reading from the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Let me just find a verse here. The text, what's the text? 23. I was firmly convinced that I was giving class tomorrow. It was kind of a surprise when I heard my name announced this morning. So, all right, let's see. 22. Avishmatam tam paripurna kamam svenaiva labhena samam prashantam pinopasarpati aparam hi palishaha shva langulena titarti sindhum avishmatang tang paripurna kamam svenaiva labhena samang prashantam vinopasarpatya parang hibalishaha shalangulena tititarti sindhum avishmitang tang paripurna kamam svenaiva labhena samang prashantam vinopasarpatya parang hibalisha shalangulena tititarati sindhum avishmitang tang paripurna kamam svenaiva labhena samang prashantam vinopasarpatya parang hibalisha shalangulena tititarti sindhum. Please chant. Vinopasarpatya parang hibalisha shvalangulena tititarti sindhum. Avishmitang tang taripurna kamam svenai valabhena samam prashantam pasarpatya vilam vishalisham shvalangulena tititarti sindhum. Vaishnavis? Avishmitam tam haripurna kamam svenai valabhena samang prashanta vinopasarpatya parang hibalisha Angulena tititarti sindhum. Okay, so word meanings. Avishmitam, who is never struck with wonder. Tam, him. Paripurna kamam, who is fully satisfied, Swayena, by his own, Eva, indeed, Labhena, achievements, Samam, equipoised, Prashantam, very steady, Vina, without, Upasarpati, approaches, Aparam, another, he, indeed, Balishaha, a fool, Shwa, of a dog, Langulena, by the tail, Atititarti, wants to cross, Sindhum, the sea. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Free from all material conceptions of existence and never wonderstruck by anything, the Lord is always jubilant and fully satisfied by his own spiritual perfection. He has no material designations and therefore he is steady and unattached. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only shelter of everyone. Anyone desiring to be protected by others is certainly a great fool who desires to cross the sea by holding the tail of a dog. Please repeat. Free from all material conceptions of existence and never wonderstruck by anything, the Lord is always jubilant and fully satisfied by his own spiritual perfection. He has no material designations, and therefore he is steady and unattached. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only shelter of everyone. Anyone desiring to be protected by others is certainly a great fool who desires to cross the sea by holding the tail of a dog. Srila Prabhupada's purport. A dog can swim in the water, but if a dog dives in the ocean and someone wants to cross the ocean by holding the dog's tail, he's certainly fool number one. A dog cannot cross the ocean, nor can a person cross the ocean by catching a dog's tail. Similarly, one who desires to cross the ocean of nescience should not seek the shelter of any demigod or anyone else, but the fearless shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 14, text 58, therefore says, famous verse many of you know, Samashita ye padapalava plavam, Mahatpadang punya yasho murare, Bhavambudir vatsa padang parang padam, padam padam yat vipadam natesham. The Lord's lotus feet are an indestructible boat, and if one takes shelter of that boat, he can easily cross the ocean of nescience. Consequently, there are no dangers for a devotee, although he lives within this material world, which is full of dangers at every step. One should seek the shelter of the all-powerful instead of trying to be protected by one's own concocted ideas. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshtarine Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Haripre Vancha Kalpaturubhya Shah Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaisavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us insight into things that are happening outside of our neighborhood. Our neighborhood is this tiny earth planet. We think it's all in all. But there are many, many, such neighborhoods in the universe that make Brentwood look like a hole in the wall somewhere. Exclusive, gated communities, the higher planets. So we're getting a little insight into what goes on with the rulers of this universe. They themselves are put into fearful situations. Here they are, powerful, Indra, in charge of the rain, the thunderbolts, Chandra, Varuna, Agni, all these powerful personalities, and they're afraid because the demons have become empowered. And if Dvashta, as by his powerful chanting of Vedic mantras, produced this Vritrasura, this humongous, powerful demon, and the demigods are now in a fearful position. So interestingly, although they had taken shelter of a priest by the order of Lord Brahma, who had given them the Narayan Kavacha shield, they didn't, at this point, they're so afraid, they forget about chanting Narayan Kavacha, let us just run to Lord Vishnu and take shelter there. So this is actually intelligent. As Prabhupada says, the last sentence in the purport, don't take shelter of your own concocted ideas. Concocted ideas means it's based on illusion. In illusion, we think that we can protect each other, right? Some buff guy approaches some girl and says, you know, marry me and I'll take care of you, I'll provide for you. You can't do anything. Can't do anything. Prahlad points that out in the 7th canto, a very nice verse. He's explaining that only Lord Nrisimhadev can save you. The boat is not any guarantee that you're going to cross the ocean. The parents are no guarantee that the kids are going to survive. The doctor and his medicine are no guarantee that anybody's going to be cured. The only completely dependable shelter is the Supreme Lord. So that's why Prabhupada mentions here, concocted ideas. We have these ideas, again, we make all these plans, one after another, even though we're defeated, lifetime after lifetime. Next lifetime again, we get up and we dust ourselves off and we make all these plans for protecting ourselves and others. So, the Bhagavatam is informing us, don't take shelter of these fallible soldiers. Right? Don't take shelter of fallible soldiers. You yourself are fallible, and all your concocted ideas and relationships, they're also fallible. Take shelter of Krishna. So here, this very nice verse from the 10th canto is cited. Samashrita ye padapallava plavam mahatpadam punya yasho murari. So, samashrita ye padapallava plavam. This pallava, as we all know, or many of us know anyway, Srila Prabhupada translated up until the 13th chapter of the Bhagavatam. So this 14th chapter was continued by his disciples headed by Ridhananda Maharaj. But in the purport to this verse that they gave, they cited mostly the predecessor acharyas. Like Sridhar Swami says that this word palavala, palava means a soft flower bud. So Krishna's lotus feet are compared to these flower buds, soft, pinkish. But we should not let their beautiful appearance and softness fool us. Those soft pinkish lotus feet are the shelter of the entire Mahat. Mahat Padam. Mahat means the universe. So this, what to speak of this universe? Innumerable universes are sheltered under Krishna's lotus feet. And so we may visualize, you know, humongous size, you know, million, you know. No. If you look at the painting, Yashoda Mayi is there bathing, giving Abhishek to Krishna in his baby form. So those tiny little baby feet, they're also the shelter of all the universes. When we look at Rukmini Dwarkadisha on the altar, those beautiful little feet that you see there, those are the shelter of all the universes. We don't have to imagine some humongous. No, Krishna, in whatever form he appears in, his feet are the shelter of all the universes. Punya Yasho, famous. Yasha means fame. That's why she's called Yashoda, because she's famous as being Krishna's mother. Thinking of her gives fame also. So, Punya Yasho, Mora Ari, the Mura demon, and Ari means enemy. So, Prabhupada points out in speaking on about this term, Mura Ari, Morari. Krishna is actually nobody's enemy. Krishna is everybody's well-wishing friend. But for one who wants to see Krishna or God as enemy, then Krishna appears before him as an enemy and kills him. That's a very fortunate person, actually. Most of us are just ground into dust by the wheels of time. You know, gradually illness takes over, or the mind becomes even more deranged. Ordinarily, everybody's crazy anyway, but as time goes by, they become even more crazy. Totally deranged. So gradually, the wheels of time, kala, chakra, this time element, just grinds everything into dust gradually. So Krishna doesn't have to come to kill us. We're already sentenced. So when Krishna actually comes and kills somebody, like the Mura demon or Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, those are very, very fortunate souls. It's not ordinary to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear before you personally and kill you. So, Mahatpadam Punya Shumari. Bhava Ambudi. Bhava means the cycle of birth and death. Sangsara, a cycle of birth and death. So, we're all in that cycle. Krishna says, Jatasihi Juvam Janma Mrtasyacha. For one who has taken birth, death is certain. And after death, rebirth is also certain. So we all know that after taking birth, or we should know, that you're going to die. Everybody knows that intrinsically. But what we are not so sure of is the rebirth part. And therefore we are notably afraid of dying. The example I like to use when I go to colleges is, I ask, is there anybody in this class who's afraid of sleeping? And generally nobody's afraid. Why? You're very vulnerable. You know, when your eyes are closed, you're off dreaming, whatever. Anybody can come and kill you. And we're not afraid because we've experienced that. I go to sleep and then I wake up. Sleep means you put this body down and you wake up in the same body. Death means you put this body down and you wake up in a different body. That's all. But we've forgotten that, even though we've been through that experience so many times. So we're afraid of dying. We're not afraid of sleeping, but we're very much afraid of dying. So, Bhava Ambadi, this cycle of birth and death is like a vast ocean. You cannot, this is why this example here is so appropriate, that you cannot cross the ocean by holding onto the tail of a dog. It's not going to happen. There are some dogs that are trained for water rescue, and they can, you know, you're off Venice Beach and you're drowning a few hundred feet off, they can come out and drag you in. Powerful enough to do that, but they're not powerful enough to swim across the Pacific. It's not possible, not going to happen. So similarly, all these so-called shelters that we see in this material world, our own bodies and minds, our bank balance, our spouses, our friends, family members, the government, these are all compared to dogs trying to swim across the ocean. They cannot get us out of the ocean of birth and death. It's not possible. And that is our real problem. The problem is not, what am I going to eat later today or next week, or is Social Security still going to be around when I turn 65? That's not the problem. The real problem is I'm going to die again and have to take birth again in this material world unless I make a final solution in this lifetime. Qualify myself to get out of here and go back to Godhead. This is the real problem. And that you cannot achieve by grabbing onto these dog-like so-called shelters that we have in this material world. It just doesn't work. We know, and we all know this intrinsically. Our own bodily strength diminishes, and any so-called strong man or strong woman nowadays, there are a lot of women who also pump iron. You know, just one little bug, and all that strength is gone. One little bug. You go to India, and you drink something or eat something wrong, and you get amoebic dysentery, and all that strength is gone overnight. So this bodily strength, we know, you cannot really take shelter of bodily strength. So mental. Okay, now I come up with so many scenarios and things, and I make stealth bombers and this and that. These things are also fallible. How many times, almost every day, you hear some plane crashes, falls out of the sky. You know, so all of these things that we come up with on the material platform, they're not even a material shelter. They're not even reliable material shelters. What to speak of spiritual shelters? It's impossible, not possible. So this verse is pointing out, Bhavamadi Vatsapadam. Although this ocean of birth and death is insurmountable, if we take shelter of those soft, beautiful, lotus-like feet of Krishna, Then, Vavamburya Vatsapadam. Vatsapadam means, Vatsa means the calf. We're not even talking cow here, we're talking calf, little baby. Their feet are so small, their two little cloven hoofs, they're so small. When they make an impression in the ground, and that little impression fills up with water, if we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, then the entire insurmountable ocean of material existence, birth and death, becomes reduced to the size of the little puddle in the little hoof print of a calf. It means you can easily step over it. So this is what we're being offered here. We're being offered easy escape from this ocean of birth and death. Not difficult. Very, very easy. Now, in commenting on that same verse, Jiva Goswami says that Pallava also means, it's like Krishna's lotus feet are like a desire tree. And it's pointed out that great souls like Narada Muni, who are themselves like desire trees for ordinary conditioned souls. In other words, if you take shelter of the pure devotees of the Lord, then you can get out. So they themselves are taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. That's actually where they derive their power from. So I was reading this morning from the Bhagavatam, where Srila Prabhupada was reminding us that this Vedic knowledge, although it seems to be coming from Lord Brahma, it's actually coming from Krishna. Everything is coming from Krishna, not just the Vedic knowledge. Everything comes from Krishna, including whatever ability we have. Everything is coming from Krishna. And therefore, it makes sense to take shelter of the Supreme Source. I've said this a few times, that when I grew up in New York and I had a lot of friends in the garment industry, and they turned me on to the real source of clothing, like the factory. So if you can go directly to the factory and buy clothing for a fraction of what you pay at Macy's, then who wants to go to Macy's? So it's like that. If you can go directly to the source of everything, why do you need to go through any intermediaries? It's not necessary. So this idea of taking shelter of those who are sheltered by Krishna, that's also substantiated by Shukadeva Goswami in his prayers in the second canto, fourth chapter, where he says, everybody also should know this verse, Kirata Hunandra Pulindo Pokasha Abir Shumba Yavana Kashadaya Yene Chapapa Yada Pasha Yashaya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. So that verse is pointing out that all of these sinful ethnic groups of people, Kirata Huna Andra Pokasha, all of these Kashya races, which means the Orientals, all of these people are outside of Vedic culture, which means outside of Varnashram Dharma. They can be rectified. They can be brought to the standard by if they take shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord. Meaning, taking shelter of the pure devotee of the Lord means taking shelter of the instructions of the pure devotee and serving the pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada said right here in Los Angeles in 1972 that the disciple's business is to be ready at every moment to serve the spiritual master at any cost. That's what it means to be a disciple. The disciple's business is to be ready at every moment to serve the spiritual master at any cost. Not according to our ideas. And sometimes in our society we lose track of that because there are so many gurus now and the disciples don't live directly under the shelter of the guru. So, you know, people tend to dream up what they want to do instead of what the spiritual master wants them to do. And this is actually not good for us. It's not good. Where is the surrender? Surrender means I submit myself to be told by you what to do. And therefore, a society of devotees, in one sense, as Prabhupada himself stated, is to be conducted as if in military discipline. There has to be discipline. Prabhupada said there's no meaning to disciple if there's no discipline. You have to submit yourself to be disciplined, which means somebody's telling you what to do, which we don't like. We don't like. I remember when I joined in 73, that was the thing my father did not like the most. All right, so you want to, you know, follow your spiritual path in this. But why do you have to put yourself in a situation where somebody tells you what to do? You can figure it out. You're smart. So But we all feel like this, that we're smart enough. It's my life, my time, I should figure out what to do. Why should somebody tell me what to do? Somebody should tell us what to do because we don't know what to do to get out of this entanglement. We don't know. If we're honest, we admit that. We don't know. It's like this current situation in Japan with the nuclear meltdown. At first, the Japanese didn't want to ask for any help. They're too proud. It's our problem, our country, we're smart enough. But when it got to the point where it was seriously close to total meltdown, then they had to involve other people, call in experts from other countries. So it's like that. When the situation is serious enough, then you admit, I'm in danger, I don't know how to get out of it, somebody please help me. So we're all in that situation. We're in this world, we're in imminent danger, padam padam. That'd be padam natesham. This material world is called padam padam, where there's a place where there's danger at every step. And if we realize that, if we recognize that, then we ask for help. And asking for help means, I'm going to do what you tell me. Like if you call for the, rescue squad, you fall into a ditch or something, you do what they tell you to do. You know, hold this, move like that, if you really want to get out. Not that you ask for help and they say, well, I don't like that instruction. I'd like to do... All right, so then you stay where you are. Right? I mean, you used to be a lifeguard, right? So in a lifeguard situation, when you go out and you have the float and this and that, you tell the person, okay, this is what I want you to do. And if they're smart and they want to be rescued, then they do it. But we're so foolish, even when we get to this point, like we all have, that we recognize that we need help to be rescued, still we stubbornly hold on to this, I want to do my own thing attitude. It doesn't work. Therefore, if we really, really want to take shelter of Krishna, it means taking shelter of Krishna's devotee, and it means taking shelter of instructions. We have to be told what to do, what not to do, when to do it, how to do it. And this is real surrender. There is no surrender in doing your own thing. And then you just, okay, if you're in a situation, you're trying to rescue somebody and they insist on doing their own thing, then you're just going to back off, okay. And you're going to wait for them to really go, help! And then you'll try again to save them. But if they're going to fight you, resist you, do their own thing, then you're not going to be so inclined. So, the demigods are at that point now. They've seen Vritrasura, this humongous demon who they recognize right away, we cannot defeat this guy. So they're yelling, help. They're crying out. They're approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. They're trying at least to approach directly. Because they know there is no other shelter besides Krishna. Any other shelter is so-called shelter is a shaky platform. Risky business. All right, we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Simply, all they had to read is the Vedas. The Vedas of universes and universes and universes, and everything is made out of little strings. And I think of the music of Krishna and the flute, and like it's not a big bang. It's not a big bang. And then you bring up garments. These universes are little membranes. They're like cloth. Blowing in the breeze. And what creates another universe? A simple touch of two. And I think of the omnipotence of Krishna, that he can create another universe just by the gentlest touch. And then Prabhupada says that Krishna consciousness is a science. Who can say that with some credibility than a man who is a chemist? I get fascinated. Everything like I always took a fascinating interest in science, and I related always to Krishna consciousness. And sometimes I think that these theoretical physicists are just hot plagiarizing. They say the creation of the universe it's more like Hinduism and Buddhism.
Yeah, in the interest of time, if there is a
it just fascinates me when I hear.
Yeah, it is fascinating. Srila Prabhupada actually answered.
Just read the Vedas.
Srila Prabhupada actually dealt with this very thing this morning.
Yeah.
The same purport that Subhash was reading, where he said that the scientists, they're starting away from the beginning of things, and therefore they don't see a clear picture. And they're trying to come up with all these explanations, but if they would just turn around and look at the source, then everything would be clear.
Exactly.
So this is what Krishna consciousness does for us. Krishna consciousness introduces us the source of everything. All power, all knowledge, all opulence, everything is there in this one source. Everybody has to accept the source. Whether you go down the reductionistic path like the current scientists, you have to have a beginning somewhere. Yeah. So their beginning is at singularity, infinite density.
No, it's parallel universes now.
No, before you get to parallel universes, there is this singularity,
right,
which is the source of this so-called parallel universe. So, we accept Krishna as a source, they accept the singularity.
Yeah. These scientists, all they had to do is read the Vedas.
So,
thank you.
All right, Hare Krishna. One more, I think, and then we can start. Or, okay. Ganesh?
Yes, Archita. Prabhu, thank you for the nice class. You were speaking how ultimately the devotee needs to take instruction from the spiritual master, not depend on one's own material calculations and intellectual prowess. But we find that at times, devotees are sincere in doing that, but because we've had this material mind that always wants to do things independently, it thus starts to concoct its own way. Yes, the spiritual master is telling me this, but maybe he's really meaning this, or maybe he wants me to do it this way. So how can one... conquer these speculations of the mind so that they can remain following the orders of the spiritual master?
That's the whole goal of what we're doing here. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the mind can be your best friend or your worst enemy. So the whole process of sadhana bhakti is to discipline the mind. Discipline the mind so it doesn't become your enemy or doesn't remain your enemy. It's already our enemy when we're conditioned. We're trying to change that inimical mind into a friendly mind. And the way to do that is to follow the path of sadhana bhakti, which means being told what to do. Go to bed early enough so you can get up early enough to come to Mangal Arati, do the full program, regularly hear the scriptures. Just like I periodically rediscover Sri Upanishad. It's so powerful. And the fourth text of the Upanishad is directly related to today's verse, where it states that the Supreme Personality of God, although fixing in his abode, is swifter than the mind and can overcome anyone running. The powerful demigods cannot approach him. Although in one place, he controls those who provide the air and the rain. He surpasses all in excellence. So this is directly related to today's verse, that the demigods, actually they cannot approach Krishna. By his mercy, he may give them darshan. But by their own power, they cannot. And he, again, Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, that Ahang Adhiri Devanam, Maharshinam. He says, the great sages, the demigods, they don't know me. Because in every respect, I am the source of all these sages and demigods. So the byproduct cannot know the source, unless the source allows it. So Krishna is in control of everything. He's in control of our knowledge and all that. And it's just that much sanity we should have to at least appreciate that point, that there is a supreme personal source, a supreme personality of Godhead who is controlling everything, who is the source of everything. So real sign of intelligence on my part would be to surrender to that source, to approach that source. And once you fix that idea in your mind, then when the mind tries to drag you, then you have a reason for dragging it back to the straight path. If you don't at least fix that point in your consciousness, then you don't have any reason to struggle against the mind and bring it back to the straight path. Then we just surrender to all the mental concoctions. We surrender to whatever the mind proposes. But if we have that goal in mind, to surrender to the Supreme Personality of God and to take shelter of that Supreme Source, then when the mind gives us trouble, then we have a reason for dragging it back. And Krishna says that. It's going to happen gradually. Shanai shanai uparamen. Step by step. Gradually. You're not going to conquer it overnight. We've been surrendered to the mind for millions of lifetimes. So to get out of that surrender and take full shelter of Krishna, Maya is not going to let us go that easily. At every moment you're going to be tested. But if you have the goal in mind and you realize that it's the only worthwhile goal, then you'll go through the struggle. Otherwise you won't. You'll surrender. Oh, it's too tough. I can't be bothered. It's okay. I'll just, you guys are too fanatic anyway, and like that. But when you're in a real dangerous situation, then fanaticism is good. To fanatically hold on to a rope by which somebody's pulling you out of a well, that's good fanaticism. If you want to become relaxed about it and let go of one hand and, maybe see how long I can free fall before I grab on again, that's dangerous. It's good to be fanatic in a dangerous situation if you're going to be rescued. So we can stop here. Rantarashiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.